peace be with you. I have to tell you, this gospel text always causes a little catch in my throat when I read it. This story of this poor woman being handed off again and again and again so that the men will be remembered with heirs. I mean, it's sort of a Handmaid's Tale sort of gospel text, right? And it sort of stirs up some gut feeling for some of us, perhaps. And I have to confess, maybe I'm a little more sensitive to the questions that Jesus never addresses in this text about how women are used during that time for the sake of the men's, you know, ongoing memorial and children, and how they're used, right, for the sake of the men, and how they're passed on for the sake of the men. And maybe I wouldn't have been quite so sensitive to it if I hadn't this week gotten a survey from the ELCA. I don't know if you're aware of this, but next year marks the 50th anniversary of the time that the ELCA began ordaining women in our predecessor bodies. So we have been ordaining women into the Lutheran tradition for 50 years. And the ELCA actually sends out surveys and does sort of a check-in with women. They've done that on all of the anniversary years to sort of see how life is going with us. And so they asked us, tell us about your experiences. Have you ever experienced sexism? Have you ever experienced discrimination? Have you ever been harassed physically, verbally, in seminary, by your colleagues, by ecumenical partners? And we got to write down all of the things that we have experienced as women in ministry. And so I'm thrilled that people want to know what we deal with, but it gets a little raw sometimes. And then on top of that, there's a couple of news stories that came out this week. I don't know if any of you heard these. One of them was a family values video that was put out by one of the religious committees in Turkey. And it was a video about teaching men to, the point of it was get your head up from your phone and pay attention to your wife who's serving you tea, and who's coming back and serving you cakes, and who's waiting on you, and you should look up from your phone and notice her. That got a little backlash from women in Turkey who said, how about you look up from your phone and make your own tea? But again, the focus on how women are to meet the needs of men. And then, out of Japan. Did anybody hear either of these stories? Anybody hear the one about Turkey or Japan? A bunch of corporations in Japan are getting blowback this week because they have instituted policies banning women from wearing glasses at work. Because it makes us look not so friendly. We shouldn't wear glasses. We need to look nicer and friendlier. Again, with a little blowback. I read this text in the gospel and I think, thank goodness we don't treat women like that anymore. And then I face the rest of the world and go, oh, it's a struggle. And see, here's the thing. It sounds like maybe this doesn't have a lot to do with the text this morning. It's like it's an ancillary, you know, issue. But the reality is, Jesus is teaching us about the resurrection and what a resurrected life looks like. Now, you've noticed in this text, it just says flat out, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. And so they're trying to trip Jesus up. We know that. They're trying to trip Jesus up with a trick question. But the trick question that they raise up is an illustration of the issue that we continue to face, all of us, in our lives every day, whether we are female or, dealing with gender discrimination on the basis of being a female, or whether we are a male dealing with false expectations and gender discrimination on the basis of being male, or whether we are non-binary and facing that whole thing and the discrimination and pain. And no matter where we are, the reality is that human beings have a nasty tendency to stop seeing one another as children of God and see one another only in terms of how we can use each other. It's a universal human condition. And we have all experienced it. And every time we dismiss the image of God in another beloved of God, every time we dismiss the humanity of someone by focusing only on how can this person meet my needs, every time we do that by assigning them only that role, I mean, it's a good and right thing for us to meet one another's needs. We're called to that in Christ. But to see someone only in the lens of how they can meet our needs, well, that is defacing the image of God. It's idolatry. It's sin. Now, Jesus doesn't specifically address this reality, but he does point out that in the resurrection, which there is, you notice, you may have noticed, in the resurrection, there is no longer anyone marrying or being given in marriage. In other words, the human institutions, even though Moses gave the law, but it's a human institution here that is designed to serve personal needs and to build ourselves up, but falls into the trap of using others to do that. The human institutions that we have built that wind up breaking our communion with one another, those institutions disappear. Those structures of human society that we have built, sometimes with good intentions and sometimes not so much with good intentions, the structures and the stereotypes and the assumptions and the rules of human society that you and I have built to structure the way our world works, but that continue after thousands of years of history to lead to brokenness, those structures will disappear. They will disappear. Thanks be to God, the sexism is going to disappear. The unfair expectations of people because they identify as male will disappear. Racism is going to disappear. Classism is going to disappear. Barriers between people of different ethnic backgrounds are going to disappear. Ageism and the dismissing and diminishing of people because their bodies are changing will disappear. Judging people based on how they look or how great an athlete they are or how high their grades are, it's all going to disappear. I want to be around for that day. Because see, there's one thing to say that there is no hell and you're not going to live in torment forever if you haven't made the cut. That's great. But this idea of the resurrection, that there is a life after this broken life, that there is a life that we are raised up to, is a powerful promise. It's not just nothingness that we go to. It's not just a lack of pain. It's not a lack of sorrow. It's not a lack of grief. It's not a lack of all the brokenness. But it is a resurrected life. I don't know about you, but haven't you ever just wished, just for once, you could live in a world that was in perfect communion with itself? Where we had no barriers between us. No more abuse. No more misunderstanding. No more brokenness. No more objectification. No more taking advantage of. No more ignoring the pain of. No more of all of the things that break our hearts every day. Just for once. Wouldn't it be great if we really did all get along? That is what Jesus promises to us. The resurrection is more than just my ego being raised up after my body stops and me living forever. The resurrection is a communion in community where all of the brokenness that we strive to deal with and fix and repair and pray away every week, all of that is redeemed and healed. God is a God of the living. And he is a God of the living who have finally come into the fullness of life, where we are all finally in right relationship with each other, where we're not afraid of hearing one another And we don't misunderstand each other anymore. And we know who we are before God. We know our own brokenness. And we know that we have been renamed beloved. And we know each other's brokenness. And we know that we have all been renamed beloved. This promise of resurrection, beloved, sometimes I think we think it is too small. It is much bigger than we often recognize. God is the God of the living, and to God, all of us are alive. That promise holds us, not just an end to pain, but finally entering into that place where we can fully live, completely, totally. We'll know who we are. We'll know who God is. We'll finally know one another the way God has always hoped we will. Our gift is that when we hold that promise near to our hearts and we hold it in our minds, sometimes we see it break through even into this world. That is a blessing and a gift and a promise all its own. Thanks be to God.